versus Seattle. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Ed Hemingway. I am here on behalf of the appellant Tian Nguyen versus the City of Seattle, and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Go ahead, sir.
In this particular case, the plaintiff and the appellant Tian Nguyen has brought multiple issues before the Court of Appeals for a finding as a matter of law against the City of Seattle. First and foremost, the City of Seattle breached its own statutes or its own ordinances in Seattle Municipal Code 15.42.010, which states that no one shall be allowed to remain in public place a tree that is a hazard to the public. And more importantly, it breached its own statute of 15.42.020, that a tree must remain 14 feet above the roadway and allow free use of the roadway to the general public. These are the standards of laws that should have been used in this case. The city breached their own standard of law and their own public policy when it did not keep the trees trimmed to 14 feet above the roadway. When you go back and you read the ordinance, it says kept trimmed and shall. Those are important words in this particular case.
Mr. Hemingway,
yes.
This was a bench trial to the judge. Let me ask you, it's true that the ordinance requires 14 feet, but the trial court never stated or found that the truck bed itself, the box, shall we call it, impacted the branch. What the trial court found was that it appeared that where the box struck was where the trunk and the larger branch that was felled is where the area was of impact. How does that impact the 14-foot rule?
Well, the statute reads tree, whether it's overhanging branch, but the statute reads the word tree shall not be allowed to overhang the roadway. First of all, in this case, the court found as a matter of law that Mr. Nguyen was not at fault in this case, that none of his driving or anything that he did as a driving was at fault. They also found that after the top of the truck, which is 11 feet high, struck the tree branch where the tree and the branch connect, the truck was pulled off the roadway. So the only reasonable conclusion that you can make is the tree and the tree branch overhung the roadway less than the statute requires, which is 14 feet. In fact, it has to lean over the roadway an area of less than 11 feet in order for the impact to occur, to pull the truck off the roadway and cause the collision. It is our contention that the breach of the duties by the City of Seattle was the proximate cause of the accident, and as a matter of law, this case should be remanded back to the trial court for a judgment to be entered. Now, the judge in this particular case had some questions of her own, so she went ahead and made a ruling on damages just in case the Court of Appeals were to reverse her findings. There was other issues that the plaintiff brought up in this case. One, notice is not an element of a breach of a statute or an ordinance. And if notice is not an element of a breach of a statute or an ordinance, then it must be pled affirmatively. In this particular case, it wasn't pled in the answer, and it wasn't brought to the plaintiff's attention or to our attention until 1 week before trial. And at that particular time, the issue is brought up. Also, the fact that the statute says kept trimmed creates an affirmative duty on the part of the City of Seattle. And in Argus versus Quate, what the What we pointed out in that particular case is that the city can't remain, just like in Argus, can't remain passive until a dangerous condition occurs and then tries to avoid liability on the grounds that it had no notice or constructive notice of a defect. And that's exactly what the city is doing here. They're avoiding their own affirmative duty to keep the tree. The trees must be kept 14 feet or more above the roadway. We go on to make some other points in our analysis. We call the city a possessor of the land, and as the possessor of the land, they also have some duties that a possessor of the land would have to maintenance and inspect the trees. Now, what is that? How is that duty defined? That duty is also defined by 15.42.020, which says the state must maintain those trees above the roadway by 14 feet. So the city had an affirmative duty to inspect, an affirmative duty to keep those trees trimmed, and it breached those duties. These trees were...
Hemingway, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yes.
There's no evidence that the city owned the land on which the tree was planted, was there?
There's no evidence that they owned the land, but they were the possessors of land. It was the roadway that the arterial, five-lane arterial that went down there. They planted the trees on the side of the roadway, and the RCW, the restatement that the state of Washington follows says that if you're in control of that land, then you are the possessor of that land and then held to those duties.
So the trees were within the arterial right-of-way?
The trees were within the arterial right-of-way. The trees were right next to the roadway of Olson Place Southwest as it went downhill. And they were within 3 feet of the roadway. And this was a tree that leaned into the roadway, and my client hit that tree, and it was pulled off the roadway, and the accident occurred.
Well, the trial court never found that the trunk itself went any further than just the strip that it was planted in. In other words, there was no evidence and no complaints or any notice that the tree was dangerous and that where it was placed and that was leaning. Isn't that what the trial court found?
Well, then the trial court's going back and taking a look at notice, and I'm saying that notice is not an element of the city's affirmative duty to go out and inspect the tree. You plant a tree back in 1976, and you have no program in place to inspect your trees. You have no program in place to keep the trees trimmed to 14 feet above the roadway. And then when something happens, you want to plead notice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Jeffrey Cowan for the City of Seattle. May it please the court. Let me address the issue of notice as I did in our brief. Notice of an unsafe condition is an intrinsic element of the case, the plaintiff's case in chief.
Isn't that 140.02, the WIPIC instruction?
Exactly. Though as this is a bench trial, we wouldn't have used that instruction, but the instruction essentially restates the law. Given that it's the plaintiff must show or a jury must find that the municipality had notice of an unsafe condition, it doesn't matter what the defendant pleads. The requirement of notice is an intrinsic part of the plaintiff's case in chief. It's not an affirmative defense, and so we did not plead it as one. And the idea that we somehow waived it because we didn't plead it is unsupported by the law. The cases that the appellant referred to just now, the Argus case, and also some cases mentioned in the brief, are instances where the requirement of notice is obviated where the unsafe condition was in fact created by the municipality itself. In the Argus case, the county's agent, the contractor, built some gravel detour around a construction site that they knew would wear down with traffic use by cars. That's exactly what happened. The plaintiff didn't have to prove notice of an unsafe condition because the unsafe condition was created by the county's agent.
How is that different
from... that we're talking about, that your argument stems from, I realize there's case law that supports it, but is there a statute that supports it?
On the question of notice?
Yes.
No, Your Honor. It's a common law doctrine.
Washington's waiver of immunity with regard to itself and all its municipalities, is that not the general standard? It's liable as any other person?
Well, that goes to the question of jurisdiction rather than the question of...
Jurisdiction, counsel? Enlighten me. Jurisdiction?
Well, the sovereign has waived immunity to lawsuit.
That's the end of it. They are liable as any other person. The statute so states.
That's true, yes.
I'm quarreling with the doctrine of notice. I don't understand why you have any business talking about notice when you have a general duty to maintain the roadways in the state of Washington and the city by the city in a reasonably safe condition. And when the city creates the condition by planting the trees, does not conform to its own statutes, what evidence do you have then that they aren't managed?
Well, Your Honor, with respect, I don't think the city created an unsafe condition. The court found
Nature did it. They didn't. No.
The court found no unsafe condition, Your Honor.
The state's court's findings are inconsistent. I mean,
they're based on the evidence,
Your
Honor.
What are we left with?
I'm sorry.
What are we left with? The plaintiff apparently is not at fault.
Apparently.
The city's not at fault.
That's right. Is the court suggesting that the fact of an accident implies negligence?
There's a tree in the roadway.
With respect, Your Honor, it's not in the roadway. It's on a planting strip. The city's duty of reasonable care.
The city says it has to be clear of the roadway to 14 feet. Apparently it's not.
There's no evidence to that effect, Your Honor.
Well, the truck was struck at 11 feet, and the truck's in the roadway, and the plaintiff's not negligent.
Buses taller than the truck did not strike the tree. The inference being that a vehicle 11 feet tall, if it struck the tree, it didn't strike the tree because of some fault with the tree.
Or that the buses were in a different part of the lane.
Right.
Well,
if it's 11 feet tall, doesn't the tree have to be no more than 11 feet above the surface at some point for the two to make contact?
Well, the requirement is the tree.
Am I in physics, or are we arguing a lawsuit?
There's no evidence of how tall the tree was. Period. There's no evidence.
Sure, there is. Sure, there is. There's evidence that part of the tree. It was no more than 11 feet above the ground, and the evidence of that is that an item 11 feet tall struck the tree. How is that no evidence?
The evidence is that the truck struck the trunk of the tree. Now, obviously, the point at which the truck struck the tree was at 11 feet because that's how tall the truck was. That is not evidence that the tree encroached on the roadway. The truck could have been driving so close to the curb that the box hit it. We know that vehicles taller than the truck that drive close to the curb, like buses, hadn't struck the branch. In any event, there is no evidence. Those are inferences that are made on the evidence. There's no evidence
If this tree is in the arterial roadway, And the truck that's being driven is not illegal in how it's constructed, and it strikes the tree, why didn't you have a duty to get the tree out of the arterial roadway?
Well, I'm confused by your characterization.
Well, you're telling me that there was something about the truck that made it strike the trunk of the tree, even though it apparently did this when it was still in the lane of travel. And I'm saying, don't you have a duty to get the tree out of the lane of travel if it's going to strike legally constructed vehicles that are driving down the street?
There's no evidence that it was in the lane of travel. There's no evidence.
So is there evidence that it was outside the lane of travel?
Yes, because the plaintiff...
And at what point did it go outside the lane of travel? Before or after it struck something?
With respect, Your Honor, the truck struck the tree, not the other way around.
I'm not going to engage in that sort of nonsense with you. I want to know how it is that you're saying that... Are you saying that the truck left the roadway before it struck the tree?
I'm not saying that.
And neither did the trial judge, who found that the plaintiff was without at fault. So if we don't have a finding that the truck left the roadway, then what we're left with is the truck struck the tree when it was in the roadway.
I disagree, Your Honor, with respect.
I know you do, but I can't understand on what basis.
The plaintiff's own expert conceded that the trunk of the tree did not encroach through the vertical plane of the edge of the street. That's evidence. Given that...
Is that the only part of the tree that struck the truck, the trunk of the tree?
Apparently, yes. But the evidence is also that, and this is the plaintiff's expert, that the trunk did not encroach over the roadway. Given the fact that the trunk did not encroach over the roadway, I take exception to the court's characterization that the tree was in the roadway. It was not in the roadway. There's no facts that show it was in the roadway. Now, how do we explain how the truck hit the tree if the tree wasn't extending over the roadway? Well, I don't think the burden is us on the defendant to prove how the accident happened. The burden's on the plaintiff to show that some defect of the tree, there was something wrong with the tree.
Now all you're doing is changing the subject.
Well,
you stated the question, it's a question that you continually refuse to answer.
The evidence is that nothing about the tree either encroached into the roadway or was below the 14 feet. The fact that the truck at 11 feet hit the tree is not evidence the tree encroached.
How did it happen?
I don't know. My own theory was that the truck did go up on the curve before it hit the tree. The court rejected that argument. So to answer, I don't know how it happened. But I don't think it's our burden to prove how it happened, Your Honor. I think the burden's on the plaintiff to show some defect in the tree that was a proximate cause of the accident. And there is no evidence of that. The city did not breach any ordinances. It did not breach any statutes. There was no evidence, either lay or expert, that there was anything wrong with the tree. Given that the tree, there was no previous complaints about the tree, though there had been complaints about other trees.
Now you're back to note.
Yes, I was going there. I thought we were done with the other issue.
Oh, you're not done.
Are there any more questions?
You can move on, but you're not done.
Well, the burden on this appeal is on the plaintiff to show that there's an absence of substantial evidence supporting the court's findings of fact. And I submit there is no evidence of any kind to support a conclusion other than what the court found. The trial court did not err in its findings of fact. The findings are supported by the testimony of plaintiff's own expert. It's supported by the testimony of the city's arborist.
The trial court's finding is that the truck struck an overlapping tree branch.
Are you reading the court's handwritten interlineations?
I'm reading, yeah. That's the court's findings.
If you read on, I believe the court wrote that at the point where the branch meets the trunk.
So so the court found that the truck struck an overhanging tree branch, but it really found that it struck the trunk. Is that what you just told me?
The court found that it struck the branch, which overhangs the road, at the point where the branch meets the trunk. That's the reading of the, and that's corroborated in the court's oral rulings, which the court incorporated by reference into its written rulings. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just to finish up on a couple points and rebuttal on this particular case, the plaintiff and the appellant also brought the issue of res ipsa loquitur before the court, that this is the type of incident that would not occur but for some negligence, and that the city was in control of the tree and was the owner of the tree, and that Mr. Wynn did not do anything to cause the accident. The tree was destroyed and taken away, and any inferences of negligence should be placed onto the city. Finally, what the plaintiff brought in his case was the Labert versus Grant County, which talks about ambush and leading, raising issues like notice on the eve of trial, and that it is frowned upon by the courts, and this behavior should not be allowed. It should not be encouraged that the city can do these type of things, and for that reason, the issue of notice should be vitiated. In this particular case, the only reasonable inference or conclusion that can be made is that the truck was driving as it should be down the roadway, that an overhanging tree and branch struck the truck that was 11 feet high, and that the city breached its own duties as set out in the ordinance of 15.42.020 to keep must be kept 14 feet or more above the roadway. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The panel will take a very, very brief